both in the reading in Galatians and here in Revelation chapter 2, we have the same little phrase. Hold fast, hold on. We know about holding on, of course. Every parent knows that at the side of the busy road they will say to their children, hold on, hold my hand, hold it fast. The climber, this illustration isn't right, the climbers amongst us will put me right, no doubt, will hold on fast to the rope. But that is what the Lord Jesus is saying to this church at Thyatira. To those who are true believers, hold fast, hold on to the truth of God. Hold on till I come. What about this place at Thyatira? Well, it was an important place, or it held an important place, connecting the Hermas and Caicus valleys. It was a frontier garrison that had changed hands many times. And finally, passing into the hands of the Romans in 133 BC. It held a key position in the Roman road system. It was 40 miles approximately. Southeast of Pergamos. It was a city of many trades, a very busy place. And each of these trades had their trade guild, if you like, a trade union. And each of these guilds had their guild god. And they had the guild festivals, which were occasions of gross immorality. Well, that was the place. What about the church in Thyatira? Well, in the Thompson Chain Reference Bible I have at home, it's called the Church of the False Prophetess. You see, it didn't so much face opposition from without as pollution from within. And we see who sends this message to this church at Thyatira. Interestingly, the Lord Jesus calls himself the Son of God. Now, it's the only time in these seven letters that this title is used in a letter to a church, the Son of God. And it reminds us of his divinity, of who he is, the majesty of his presence. And he describes himself, he has eyes like a flame of fire, all piercing, from whom nothing is hidden. The writer to the Hebrews, of course, brings this out so well. Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And it was just the same for that church in Thyatira. He says he has feet like fine brass. He will certainly and swiftly pursue those who are unrighteous, those who are evil. He will also put down. And this was something that the church at Thyatira was to learn to its cost. As so often, as with all but two of the letters to the seven churches, there are three parts to the message. There is commendation, there is condemnation, and there is call. commendation, condemnation, and call. There is commendation. The Lord Jesus said, I know your works. He says this to all the churches. And that's something that this church, we need to remind ourselves of. He knows our works. Not just the works that each other knows about. All our works. The unseen ones. Dare I say it, the less than glamorous ones. He knows. He sees. He knows all about their service, their faith, their love. And there has been real progress, unlike the church at Ephesus. How sad that there is a nevertheless. I wonder, dear friends, if the Lord were to send this church an epistle, would it contain a nevertheless? Nevertheless, you at Castlefields, I, the Lord, have something against you. I have a few things against you, says the Lord Jesus. You know, growth in every other area, dear friends, good as that is never ever a substitute for growth in holiness. And that was the problem here at Thyatira. Yes, there had been growth in the service in many other areas, except holiness. The Lord Jesus said, you suffer that woman Jezebel. You suffer, you allow. She was tolerated with all her errors. There was, sadly it seems, no church discipline whatsoever. No rebuking, and if necessary, for the good of the church, no putting out of the fellowship as a warning to the spiritual good of the church. Ironically, this is one of the things that the church at Ephesus that had left its first love was commended for by the Lord Jesus. But here at Thyatira, there was none of that. We don't know really who this woman Jezebel was, whether it was a woman who shared the same name or a woman whose evil life was typified by the evil wife of King Ahab, 1 Kings chapter 16, this is chapters 16 to 21. Reverend Charles Alexander of Liverpool puts it this way, she stood for that deliberate idolatry which throws all pretense to the winds and comes out into the open as the enemy of God. And you notice that she calls herself a prophetess, going clearly and directly and deliberately against the teaching of the Word of God. So we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 11 to 15. We find it is men called and equipped by God who are to preach and to teach and to lead the church of God. And she was doing this not outside but inside the church, seeking to seduce the very servants of the living God. She wasn't seeking to preach the word of God. She was seeking to occasion great immorality and idolatry among the very people of God. And we need to take warning, dear friends. Do you remember what he says about the Bereans? I don't know a lot about them, but will you turn to Acts chapter 17 for a moment? And we need... And then you'll understand, hopefully, what I mean when I say that we need to have the Berean attitude. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Paul has been to Thessalonica and come to Berea, and he records this about the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, what things? The things that the Apostle Paul was preaching, the things that they heard. They checked it with this. Did it accord with the word of God? And how we need to do exactly the same. Does what is preached agree with the word of God? If not, then do the alarm bells ring? Not just here in church, of course, but outside. People we meet who can be very persuasive, those who knock on our doors. Do we say, hang on a minute, what does Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? Yes, we need to be very careful that we also do not fall into error. But look at the mercy of the Lord Jesus, where he says that even though she has done this, I gave her space to repent. How merciful is our Saviour. How gracious. How merciful to the unworthy, to the sinner. May I ask, friend, is the Lord, this same Lord Jesus, tonight giving you space to repent of your sin? I beg you, don't despise it. And gave her space to repent. After all the provocation, there was still the opportunity for humble repentance. And isn't the Lord good to us? Doesn't he give us space to repent? Oh, let us not despise that. Or we do so to our peril. But we read the most solemn words, and she repented not. She repented not. Oh, how hard is the heart in love with sin. I hope you won't think I'm being facetious here. But would you cuddle a cobra? Or hug a python? Nottingham, or Nottinghamshire, there was a man who kept cobras. Why, I don't know. And he would kiss them on the back of the neck. And surprise, surprise, one of them bit him. And he died. Recorded in the Metro this week. Perhaps you would run a mile from a cobra. I certainly would. But why play with something, my dear friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, infinitely more deadly and infinitely more damning than a venomous serpent? What am I talking about? I'm talking about your sin. The need to repent of it. Because we see the verses 22 and 23. They make most solemn reading. I gave her a space to repent, says the Lord. She repented not. Behold. You heard that word before. Stop. Don't miss this. Take a look. A good look. I will cast her into a bed. and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her deeds, and I will kill her children with death. But all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. Now I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Our God is not a God to be trifled with. We trifle with his mercy at our peril. Let us be warned. This is written not to the world, but to the church. Let us take note. But, verse 24. But to you I say, to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. It possibly refers to the doctrine that said that you will never know how great God's mercy is until you sunk into the depths of sin. That teaching's still around today. I put in you none other burden. But you have already, hold fast. Hold fast till I come. How we need to hold fast to the Word of God. We need to study it daily, that we might hold it fast, that we might know it. What wonderful promises are here for those who do hold fast. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give him power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And that is a direct quote from Psalm 2, verse 9. For the Christian, my dear friends, this world cannot begin to approach the rewards that the Saviour has to offer to you and I if we are faithful. Verse 28, I will give him the morning star. What is the morning star? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There are lessons here that we need to learn. Five, very briefly. Firstly, nothing is hidden from God, the sight of God. We quoted Hebrews 4:13. I was reminded, as I was looking through this afternoon, of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Nothing is hidden, not a word. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 12. Very thought-provoking words. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by words, thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How many idle words have you and I said this week? The Lord Jesus said that every one of them will be, we shall give account for. Yes, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from the Lord Jesus. No thought, no word, no action, no motive, no intention. Let's make solemn consideration. But also there is much encouragement. Because the Lord can see behind that kind deed. Others may not understand why we did that kind deed. He does. He knows. He will reward. The second lesson is the reminder, as Paul makes clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 to chapter 3, verse 13, that only those equipped and called by God are to lead and teach in the church. The third lesson is the most solemn one. The space to repentance is limited. It's for today. Tomorrow may be too late. I can't help turning to that account of the flood in Genesis chapter 7. God has ordered Noah and his family into the ark. And in verse 16, records that they went in, male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded. And this is the phrase, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Think about it, my friends. Picture the scene. There's the ark. The door is shut. The rain begins to hammer down. People around realize that what Noah said, what Noah's been preaching for 120 years is true. Do you not imagine there were people hammering on the door of that ark to be let in? Let us in, Noah. We believe you. It was too late. The opportunity had gone. I ask again, is there anyone in this building who is in the place of those people outside the ark? You have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you're a sinner if you're honest. God knows it and you know it. But God is giving you space to repent. Don't despise it, my friend. Don't leave it to another time. That other time may not come. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of repentance. But for those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, here is an encouragement. Yes, there are many pressures that we've never known in this country. But God has brought us here at such a time as this. Hold fast. Hold fast to the word of God. Love it. Immerse yourself in it. Day after day. Not as a duty, but as a delight. The psalmist could say, oh, how I love your law. Do you describe your quiet time like that? Oh, how I love your law. Hold fast. Why? Because the rewards are literally out of this world. Do you like snapshots? Snapshots can be flattering or unflattering. They can make us happy and proud, or they can make us wince. Well, I'm going to give you a snapshot tonight. Don't worry, it's not of me. It's a snapshot of heaven. It's a foretaste. It's found in Revelation chapter 22 and the first five verses. Revelation chapter 2, in the first 5 verses. The Apostle John speaking. And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst, in the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Listen, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And they shall need no night, and there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Do you want to go there? I do. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to the truth of God. No matter what it costs. It's costing our dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In many parts of the world, their homes, their businesses, their churches, and in some cases their lives. But hold fast for such a reward as this. What are we to do? As we face another week, God willing, if we go out to work or wherever we go out to on the Monday morning. Hold fast, says Paul. Look up, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We are a week's march nearer home. Yes, Paul writing those words in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. But now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. For those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, now as never before in this country, we need to hold fast to what we have, to the Word of God, to our salvation, to any who don't know him. Oh, my friends, this world can never offer you anything approaching what the Lord Jesus can offer. Come to him. Confess him even tonight. And know his forgiveness and cleansing. Tomorrow may be too late. Because one day the door will be shut. One day the door of opportunity will be gone. Because the Bible speaks of a coming judgment. Hebrews 9:27 speaks of the coming judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment, the one is as certain as the other. Don't leave it till then. Come. Receive him. He will receive you. And then you too can hold fast till he comes. And look for his coming with joy and not with dread.